Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, everybody, let's step into the Wayback Machine. It was 7 years ago this month when people started to line up outside the Dominique Ancel bakery in Soho to get a cronut. The croissant donut hybrid became a modern day culinary obsession. Locals and tourists waited for absurdly long lengths of time outside the small Spring Street bakery just to buy one. The cronut is the creation of James Beard award-winning pastry chef Dominique Ancel. And aside from this one pop culture wonder, as the chef and owner of bakeries in New York, London, and LA, as well as his restaurant, Ancel has created some of the most celebrated pastries in the world. He is a true professional and one who believes that anyone can be good in the kitchen. His newest cookbook is called Everyone Can Bake, and Chef Dominique Ancel joins us now. Welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so the title of this book, Chef, Anyone Can Bake. You're a renowned pastry chef, so people are thinking, sure, yeah, anybody can bake. Why is this something you believe?
Well, I want to bring something that people could do at home, something simple, something fun. And most of the time, people think that pastry is complicated or overwhelming, but I want to show people that with very simple recipes, with like a different approach, that you could easily take this home and make something fun, something simple with your friends, with your family, with your kids. Baking is actually like very fun and very simple.
You write about your earliest memories of baking as a child, that many of us have done this. We baked cookies with our mom or our dad or our grandparent. And you write, somewhere between these special moments as kids and our days as adults, something changed. While our fearless young minds once ventured into baking with excitement, our adult minds approach it with unease. What burned us? A collapsed souffle? A lumpy custard? A melted mousse? When did we outgrow baking? What can be intimidating? What do people tell you is intimidating about baking?
When I talk to people about baking, it's always the same thing that comes back. I ask them, most people what was the first thing they've ever done in the kitchen, ever, and 95% of people tell me it's something sweet, either a cookie, a pie, something they bake with their mom, with their grandma, something actually really approachable and very easy. So I always try to show people that the easiest thing that we've done in the kitchen were actually baking, but we always had someone to bake with us, so always someone to guide and to show how to do all the steps one by one. And as we grow, older, we don't always ask for advice or for ideas on how to bake. And that's what I want to show in this book, that baking can be really approachable and actually really fun.
In that paragraph, what I read is that as adults, we fear failing. And as kids, we don't really care.
Exactly. We as adults, like, we don't want to fail. You don't want to show people that you're not good at baking or cooking. So as a kid, it's fun because you do it with someone that shows you all the steps one by one. So it's always something that we have to look back on and tell ourselves, like, what is the thing that makes baking special? What is the thing that makes baking unique, and how can I achieve it?
All right, as long as we're talking about psychology of baking, there's a lot of baking going on right now, a lot of bread baking, a lot of people taking mm-hmm. pictures of it and posting it on Instagram. Why do you think this is? Why do you think people are baking like crazy right now?
You know what? It's still hard for me to define this. It's still hard for me to understand because, you know, baking in Europe, it's like pretty common. Baking and doing pastry at home is pretty common. In the U.S., it's a lot less, but I think with people being stuck at home with the virus, people try to find hobbies and things that they always wanted to do. And when it comes to baking, it's always, for me, a childhood memory. It's always something fun, something sweet, something that, you know, that reminds us of a birthday or a celebration, something mm-hmm. that is dear to us, something that has signification in terms of childhood memories. And baking is always something people want to do again or try again when they have more time. And I'm launching my new book, Everyone Can Bake, something I've been working on for the last 2 years. I was actually worried about the release of the book, which happened right in the middle of the pandemic. Mm. And actually, the sales were really, really good because people were buying the book to bake at home.
My guest is Dominique Ancel. Everyone can bake simple recipes to master and mix. So I don't want to ask you a lot of questions about the cronut because you've talked about it so much and people are so aware of it. But there was something I read, a fact about it, which blew my mind a little bit. And I want to make sure, you know, the internet tells lies. So I want to ask you about this.
Sometimes.
I read that it takes 3 days to make a cronut. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, it takes 3 days.
How?
It's a long process.
What happens?
So the first day, what happens is that we mix the dough. So there's levain inside, which is a fermentation. So there's it's alive. There's yeast inside. The first day, we just mix the dough and we let it rest. The second day, we add the butter to it and we give all the folds, all the layers, almost like a croissant. And the third day, we actually cut it, ferment it again, and then we fry it, we fill it, we glaze it. So it's a really long process. It does take 3 days, and each of the day there's steps to follow, and each of the day the dough has to rest.
All right, good to know. Love that fun fact. Let's talk about the book a little bit. Many of the recipes in the book, it says, it's your go-to. It says, my go-to you know, batter, go-to this, go-to that. What does a recipe have to have or have to be like to be one of your go-to recipes?
So for this book, I wanted an easy approach, the similar approach that I have when I myself create new things. And I want to have people be able to create their own things, their own pastries. So what I call my to-go recipes, it's my foundations, my roots recipe, the recipes I use all the time. So as a chef, we don't always create new recipes out of nowhere. We always have some base recipes that we use, and then we modify them. We add an ingredient to flavor it. We add a bit more sugar. We change the texture. We change the flavor. And those are the base. Those are the foundations. So in this book, you will see all my go-to recipes are my basic recipes that I use myself in the kitchen. And I'll show people how easily we can actually create something from the book. So the book is divided in three different sections. The first section is all the base. So think of all the tart shells, all the meringues, all the cookie base, all the foundations for a cake. The second part is the fillings. So all the mousses, all the creams, all the ganaches, all the cement for a cake. And the last part is all the finishes, meaning all the ways to cut fruits, the ways to glaze cakes, the way to finish and decorate a cake, piping beautifully. So you can pick and choose from each of the section and make your own cake and choose your own adventure. So it's actually a very fun way to bake.
You write about a very simple cake recipe you made as a child, a yogurt cake. How did this lead to sort of unlimited possibilities, as you put it, for experimenting and learning?
So the yogurt cake is something that is super traditional in France. Like every kid in France grew up making a yogurt cake. And it shows that even back then in the days, without a scale, without basic tools, you could still like bake a simple stuff at home using the yogurt cup itself as a measuring cup. So we'll do 2 cups of yogurt, and then we'll take the same cup, measure out the sugar. Mm. We'll use same cup, measure out the eggs and the flour. So it shows that this with simple recipes, you can actually tweak them. You can make yogurt cake, you can add some herbs into it, you can chop some mint, you can add some hazelnut paste, you can flavor it and turn it into something a little bit modern, a little bit newer, a little bit more flavors.
So that's what all little kids learn in France, a yogurt cake. I think in America it's brownies. And you have...
It's brownies or banana bread here.
But you have a go-to brownie recipe. How can one change up brownies? How can I make this a little more interesting?
So brownies, you all said simple recipe, yes. It's chocolate brownie. There's many, many ways you can flavor it. You can add nuts to it. You can add raisins. You can add cranberries. You can add a lot of different toppings. You can change the type of chocolate you use. You can make it as a brownie itself. Or you can use it as a base for cake as well. To make a nice rich chocolate cake. So there's many, many ways to use each of the recipes that I show in the book and describe each of them, and I give some ideas on what to do with it.
My guest is Dominique Ancel. The name of his book is Everyone Can Bake, Simple Recipes to Master and mix. All right, so I'm going to suggest one that does not seem simple to someone who doesn't bake regularly. A salted caramel chocolate tart. It looks pretty sophisticated. Can you break this down for us? You talk about these this base and filling and finish being building blocks. Can you break this down for us so it is not intimidating?
Yes, of course. So salted caramel chocolate tart. So for me, there's many, many ways I will do it. First, we have the tart shell. So the tart shell is almost like a dough. Like think of a pie dough, for example, but a little bit more buttery. So the tart shell is something that you can make plain with just vanilla. Or something you can also flavor with like chocolate, for example. So that's the variation. So you can either do it plain vanilla or chocolate. Then we'll do a soft caramel, which is essentially sugar and water that we cook to a certain temperature and then cool down. We add a little bit of cream, and this will be the base for caramel flavor. And then we'll finish this with a chocolate ganache. A chocolate ganache is almost, if you want, like a cream, like a paste of milk, cream, and chocolate. That's a nice, creamy, chocolatey texture that we're going to add on top of this. And again, there's many ways you can flavor this ganache. You can infuse herbs in the milk or cream before making the ganache. You can infuse hazelnut and do hazelnut caramel chocolate tart. So there's many, many variations for each of the recipes, and I show in this book what to do with it.
All right, so we talked about the sort of sophisticated salted caramel chocolate tart. Let's talk about a basic, a banana bread. I think everybody's got a banana bread recipe somewhere. So what is someone who has like a sophisticated palate like you, what do you like to do with banana bread to make it less basic?
So what I like to do with banana bread, again, you're right. You know, it's a simple recipe. The my go-to recipe is a simple one. And then what you do with it after that is a little bit more elaborated. So what I love to do with banana bread, personally, it's like pretty simple. I love adding pecans to it and maybe a little of maple syrup in the batter. So I use the same base, same recipe, the same thing I actually do in my kitchen when I create new desserts. I use the same base, and then I will add some addition to it to make it different, to flavor it. I will also add a little bit of like hazelnut paste. So hazelnut and bananas go very well together, wonderful together, with a little bit of pecan to add a little bit of crunch. I will add a little bit of sea salt on top, maybe Maldon sea salt or fleur de sel right on top to give it a little bit of like savory flavor. And I'll have a complete new banana bread that really tastes different.
Now, this doesn't exactly fall under baking, but ice cream is good with baked things. and a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do I need anything special to make perfect vanilla ice cream?
I would say to make perfect vanilla ice cream, you need just one, the most important thing, great vanilla. And great vanilla, it's harder to find nowadays. It's quite expensive. Personally love the Tahiti vanilla, mm-hmm. which is a little bit richer, a little bit more flavorful. It's also one of the most expensive as well. Or the bourbon vanilla as well works pretty well for vanilla ice cream. But fresh vanilla, no vanilla extract, fresh vanilla bean infused into the milk and cream makes a whole difference.
And before I let you go, you know, we've been talking to a lot of different chefs and restaurateurs. What's been the impact of the pandemic on your various locations? Are any going to have to close? Are you consolidating in one area? What's going on?
We just like everybody, we are taking it one day at a time, and we're trying to figure out the best way to maintain everything. We stayed open in New York on Spring Street throughout the pandemic, and we're still open. One of our shops in New York has closed temporarily for now. Mm-hmm. We still are waiting for things to reopen, and you know, we're trying to cater to our regulars and our neighborhood. We also have been doing a lot of donations for hospitals to support all the doctors and such. So we are still working through it, and we're taking one day at a time for now.
The name of the book is Everyone Can Bake: Simple Recipes to Master and Mix. Chef Dominique Ancel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.